So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, Toby Altizer, Brian Mitchell, I'm in for JP all week. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Did the Nationals make the right decision in firing Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez? B. Mitch, do you think this was the right decision, or do you think maybe the timing's a little bit off, it was the right decision? What's your thought on that?
I think the timing is off, but to realize if it's the right decision or not, that comes later. You know, when you're an owner, you have a right to let people go based on if records are like they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So right decision, wrong decision, that's your choice. But you better damn sure have a plan after that. But the timing of being this close to the draft, that's a little weird. But as we just talked to Bobby, and Bobby said the rest of the scouting department is intact. Those guys get all the information and give it to Rizzo. So maybe if the lead scout guy, he may have enough information. He has more information than the dude that they put as the interim GM, I promise you that.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same guys kind of helping make the decision. So I'm curious how much, if at all, if it changes their draft process overall. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Jaime in Manassas. Jaime, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing? Hey, it's kind of sad, really. That's like the last that we had from the championship. I think the writing was on the wall. When you don't provide the GM with a budget, the flexibility to sign free agents that really matter. I don't think the ones that were brought in, Bell and Lowe, are making any difference on the team. And then the magnifying glass is on the draft picks. Everybody's waiting for these guys to come in to major league level and contribute. So I think the writing was on the wall, but I think that's not the problem. I think the problem is ownership. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be an owner of a professional team, and every morning when you look at the mirror, you cannot see somebody who is committed to putting a winning team on the field, you should sell the team. That's point blank. That's the way it should be. You should sell the team. Because I know the team belongs to owners, but we fans, the team also belongs to the fans. We are the ones who put buy the tickets to go to the games, to buy the t-shirts, buy the jerseys, and do all of that. So and then when they need a new stadium, they go and ask the whatever the city is for money to build a stadium. So you know, but it's a shame. I don't know why we're supposed to be a top 10 market in MLB, but we look like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay. Race and then it's a shame . And I don't know how long this is going to last. I heard last night on these airways talking about that it's not an option to sell the team, and I don't understand why. Right now teams are valued higher than ever. The Lakers were sold for $10 billion, and then even the Tampa Bay Rays were sold for how much? $1.7 billion, and they don't even have a stadium. So I know the collective bargaining is coming up, and everybody wants to wait for that to take place. But still, if you don't feel like you can put a winning team on the field, sell the team. Sell the team. They sell in a record values these days. And I think that's the main reason we don't have a winning team on the field.
All right, man.
Appreciate it, Jaime.
But then you got to make sure that rich people have to be honest to themselves, which they normally aren't.
Yeah, I mean,
they think if they got a lot of money, they're smart at everything.
Yeah, it's just, he's right. You have to invest seriously in this team. So I was just looking up some things. We kind of talked about this when the AARP patch thing came out.
Yeah.
The Nationals currently rank 23rd in payroll, according to SpotTrack. And there's a couple teams that are behind them in payroll that have been successful. The Brewers, Guardians, Rays. Those teams are all around or above 500 doing well. And so you can be successful with that sort of a payroll. But I think it's interesting when you take the Strasburg contract out of things, B-Mitch, they're now down to $82.7 million in payroll because they have the most retained salary because of the Strasburg thing. They would rank 27th in payroll if they took the Strasburg salary out. Uh-huh. The teams behind them, I don't think it's any coincidence. The Athletics, they're 37 and 54. The White Sox, they're 30 and 59. And the Marlins, they're 40 and 47. So their current payroll is $82.7 million without the Stras deal. The teams since 2020 that have had that, there have been, in 2021, there were five teams that had it. One of them finished with an above 500 record. That was the Rays. They finished, and you'll see them pop up multiple times, and they're thought to be a very sharp, analytically driven organization. They finished 162. 2022, there were four teams. Two of them finished above 500. Guardians, again, another savvy organization, and the Orioles. And when you look at the Orioles, they've done a really, really good job drafting, and they had a lot of young guys come up and help. 2023, it was the Rays and the Orioles of four teams. And then in 2024, the Nationals would have been 29th of 30 teams in terms of payroll, if that were the payroll going into it that season.
Well, have you take out all those contracts they deferred where they have to pay a certain year, they probably would be down lower.
100%.
So let's be real.
My point is they're not spending enough to be competitive. You have to spend money to win in this sport. There's no question. And that's going to be something that's very interesting about the new CBA that's coming up, and looks like there's going to be a lockout after the 2026 season. Is there a salary floor that eventually gets implemented, and then do owners push hard for a salary cap? And who knows? I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but that's where you end up, where you're spending at the bottom when you're a top 10 market in Major League Baseball. Frankly, it's unacceptable.
It can happen when you're not a major market where you have a low salary. But in a major market, you have to spend, or it's not going to happen.
800-636-1067. Let's get out to Matt in D.C. Matt, what's going on?
Good morning, gents.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I feel bad because I was at the game yesterday. I feel like I'm like a bad seed or something. You know, it's like get home, and I'm like, baby, I'm sorry. But in terms of the timing, I sort of get it. The team is not doing well. But on the other hand, my goodness. It's like when you're talking about Mike Rizzo and talent acquisition. I mean, you know, you can't be serious about that. It's like if you remember the summer of 2021, we were sort of the Nats were on their way to, you know, making a big charge with Kyle Schwarber. Another ho-hum Rizzo pickup that was like knocking home runs every single game. And he got hurt, I think running to first base, actually. And then before you know it, we get rid of Turner, we get rid of Scherzer, and then Soto. The return for Soto, obviously, an amazing haul. But when you think about like pickups like Howie Kendrick, Doolittle, If the Nats were the Yankees or the Dodgers, they'd have Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, Trey Turner. I don't want to blame anybody. The circumstances, you know, behind COVID for the learners and all that stuff. They're in corporate real estate and they sort of took a big hit from that. And I don't want to feel, you know, let's not waste a whole lot of time feeling sorry for billionaires. I definitely get that. But it's been complicated. I definitely smell, someone had mentioned before, the Rizzo thing. Why would you get rid of Rizzo? I think the notion that Rizzo is like, no, I'm not firing Davey because we don't, yeah, that sort of smells right, because he is certainly, it wouldn't seem to be someone on the hot seat given the circumstances. I mean, Rizzo continues to amass talent. Maybe not so much through the draft after scoring, you know, back in the early 2010s or whatever. But so that's my take. I'm sad about it. But the notion that it has anything to do with Rizzo and player acquisition, that can't be it.
Appreciate it, Matt.
Hi, man.
Thank you, guys.
But, like, the whole thing about, it, like, the learners. Okay, yes, they're in corporate real estate. But did they get complacent? Did they think, oh, we're in the bubble will never burst? Did they not have a backup plan? Okay, when you start venturing into other things, that's not an excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and the other thing, too, is if they are hurting for money, then, okay, sell the team.
There you go.
Right?
Because you can make money and you don't have to put no more out.
It's not as if that they haven't had offers. We know for a fact Ted has offered.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not as if maybe they weren't reaching the number that you were looking for, but I understand his point
there.
When
you're in need, you don't dictate the number.
So part of the reason that I think you make this move now, not necessarily a week before the draft, but in terms of making this move right now at this point in time, is because even the most optimistic Nationals fans, and I generally think that I'm more I'm realistic, I think, but I'm more optimistic with the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the most optimistic Nats fans were feeling doom and gloom over the last couple of weeks. When you're looking at the dichotomy of this season, B-Mitch, is James Wood is having an MVP-caliber season. Mackenzie Gore looks like a superstar and potential ace that could win a Cy Young mm-hmm. in the future. And C.J. Abrams looks like a franchise cornerstone shortstop. And you're still way under 500 and have no chance of competing.
Yeah.
So what's to make me think that in the next couple of years, they're going to somehow be able to build a winner around those guys when they couldn't this year?
Yeah. I think a lot of times when we see a player playing, their success is always granted to the coach. Sometimes players just that damn good.
Yeah.
There are a lot of players out there that have reached levels without the coach. But there are coaches that could bring it out of people. Are we seeing that part? Are we seeing the coaches bringing out of the guys that are not as talented as a Abrams, okay, James Wood or a Gore? You know, the guy that may be a little step down, are you getting the absolute best out of him? Or you're like, oh, well, he's not James.
And to their credit, I feel like over the last couple of years, you have seen more development successes. The issue is their development successes are guys that are usually just filling the back end of a roster, or maybe they're playing a role, but they're batting 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. Jacob Young, I think, is a success story, right? Mm-hmm. I think where they were able to get him in the draft and then develop him into being a really, really good center fielder and a okay enough hitter that he can be in the lineup, that's a success. Jake Irvin is a success. Mitchell Parker is a success. Brad Lord is a success.
Mm-hmm.
None of those guys are stars. None of those guys are guys that you're looking at as linchpins in a World Series championship roster. And that's the thing that other teams have been able to do. You look at the Atlanta Braves. They were able to develop a guy like a Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
When's the last time that the Nationals have had a guy of that caliber that they've developed? Anthony Rendon or Juan Soto is the guys. And, you know, Juan Soto, I know, sometimes gets left out because he wasn't drafted. But really, it's Juan Soto. And then before that, it was Rendon. They're just having
guys. You look at him
now,
you wonder why he wasn't.
Right. Right.
What the hell? What were people thinking at that point?
Well, you know, international stuff, but still, like, it's just, it's crazy.
I don't know, man.
Let's get out to Carlos in Alexandria. Carlos, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. You guys asked if this is the right or wrong move. I think it was the inevitable move, whether it turns out to be right or wrong or not. But the timing on this is more important for me. And it's a week, as you said before, it's a week before the draft. And I think what we're seeing here now is probably a disagreement over draft, you know, strategy and whatever. But in the real analysis, and if you set aside all that debate, we can see with very clear clarity now where the dysfunction in this organization is. To make this move without having a manager, even for the next several games in place, to me says more about this management than all the debates over, you know, what we've been talking about earlier, including how much they spend on development, which is clearly what is part of the problem of this team. Is they're getting kids up to the major leagues who don't know fundamentals, and other organizations are spending more money on that. And in that context, I think, you know, probably what happened is this was a last straw moment. And but can you imagine being a player on that team sitting out in St. Louis right now, not even knowing who's, you know, managing you tonight? It's incredible.
See, yeah, that
appreciate
that,
it, Carlos.
That point right there is what I'm trying to say. Even the general manager, I can understand making that move. But the manager, the person who directly has contact with your players on a consistent basis, That guy, they should know. So are they still waiting?
They haven't made a decision. I'm assuming.
So the players are sitting there like, who the hell's the manager tonight? Are they just going to their position coaches?
Luckily, they have the day off today, so we'll see exactly what they do. But Mike DiBartolo, I think this is going to be his first major decision because Grant Paulson reported that Miguel Cairo, who's the bench coach, did not fly out with the team to St. Louis. And I don't know, he's still a part of the organization. So I don't know if that's something where he's interviewing with the learners or DiBartolo or whoever saying, are you going to be the interim guy? Matt Lecroy is another guy to keep an eye out for, the guy that was managing the Rochester Red Wings, their AAA affiliate, and so many of the guys, the young dudes, have just recently been through AAA. But it is intriguing that you make this sort of move, and it speaks to what you're talking about with some dysfunction in the organization, that you name the interim GM, and you still have no idea who's managing you.
See, that to me...
Who does James Wood call today if he needs to ask
something? So the question is, yesterday when it hit, the players now... want to talk to people. They go to their position coaches and they're like, well, I don't know. That player's lost. That player's like, what the hell is going on? You know, because players are super talented. They're very testosterone driven. But you know what they do? They look for guidance.
100%.
And right now, who's guiding them? Y'all made a move. That's your right. You own this damn team. Who the hell do I answer to now? Who do I go look for guidance? You don't know that. So, really, at this point, there are no damn rules right now going on out in St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, it could either be a shot in the arm and this team gets motivated, or it could be the opposite.
It could be. But then again, like I understand what was going on and why you make moves, but do you not think that the players deserve that right to know?
Yeah.
Or what the hell is going on? You know, you make that move. I believe the manager should have been named before the GM. I believe that. Because that person is the one that directly is in contact with those players.
Working with the guys, yeah.
Daily.
800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop in, do you think that the Nationals made the correct move firing Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez? And what do you make of the timing, all of it? Also, I do want to get B-Mitch's thoughts on this urgency thing that we were talking about earlier with Barry's Feluga. You're listening to B-Mitch and Finley on the Fan.
Hey, Commanders fan. It's B-Mitch here, and I'm ready to take the excitement global. Join me and True Fan Travel this November for the ultimate fan getaway as Washington takes over Spain. Complete with game tickets, all-inclusive tailgate parties, and 5 nights at the Western Madrid Cusco, and curated local events across Madrid. Spots are limited, so head to truefantravel.com and lock in your seat. That's True Fan Travel. They handle everything, and you make the memories. Be part of history for the first NFL game in Madrid. That's truefantravel.com.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Hope to see you in Spain.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP all week. Talking about the Washington Nationals. Plenty of Commander stuff going on. We're going to dive into a lot of that stuff tomorrow with the RFK Stadium stuff. A former quarterback making comments about Jaden Daniels. Plenty of stuff we'll get into tomorrow. But right now, sticking with the Nationals. After the big news yesterday that they fired their general manager and president of baseball operations, Mike Rizzo, as well as manager Davey Martinez, do you think it was the right time? Do you like the move? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Eric in Gaithersburg. Eric, what's going on?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
I've never been a big Martinez fan anyway, because I don't see where he's ever been a good manager, to be honest. Yeah, they won the World Series, but I feel like that was Dusty's World Series. He went on to win another series somewhere else, you know? It reminds me, and B. Mitch can probably relate to this, it reminds me of Tony Dungy and John Gruden. You know, what has he really done? That's just my opinion. As far as Rizzo's concerned, the talent has been there. I don't know why. I heard you guys talking. The general manager is responsible to develop the talent. I mean, when we have all these coaches in places and stuff like that, the general manager is job to me is to get the talent on the squad and let it get developed from there. But that's all I need to say. I'll get off the phone and listen. Thank you.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. Was it the drafting? Was it the development? And we're not necessarily talking about the Major League coaching staff. It's more so in the organization as a whole. Are you able to develop a guy through A-ball, high A, double A, triple A, and turn them into good big leaguers? So we're not just necessarily talking about Darnell Coles and Jim Hickey and Davey and his staff. We're talking about the entire organization. That falls more on the general manager.
But general manager oversees
manager.
All that.
Exactly like, right.
Right now, let's say if there were people coming into this show, and like JPI on this side and Landfill over that side, you oversee stuff. You don't just let it happen. If something's not working the way you think it's supposed to work, you say something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I understand what he's saying. The general manager have all these coaches. But if he doesn't see the development, shouldn't he say something?
Yeah, 100%. And, look, he has brought in talent, but I think it's been an issue. And part of the reason you ended up here is I think he did a really, really good job for that stretch of 2012 to 2019. Rizzo did a fantastic job of continually making this team competitive, whether that was trading some of his assets to get guys, whether that was signing dudes, whatever the necessary stuff was to make sure that that team was competitive year in, year out. He did a great job during that stretch. Part of the issue is also during that stretch, when you traded away guys, you also weren't able to draft and develop guys that would take their stead. Because would this team have looked different if they kept a Lucas Giolito and a Reynaldo Lopez and some of these guys that they ultimately traded in some of these other deals to go get like an Adam Eaton or someone that helped them on a World Series run? Sure. But that's not an excuse to then just have a horrible farm system because you have to be able to replenish it. So I think that was part of the big issue. And ultimately, you get to a point where it felt like the message had run stale. And I've kind of teased this. I want to talk to you about this, B-Mitch. So, Barry Sferluga in his piece last night talked about this. He talked with the junkies about this, saying that the word that he used was Mike Rizzo, Davey, even the players to an extent felt too comfortable, which then leads to complacency. And when you play high school sports at a low level, like I did, when you play, you know, college sports sometimes at a lower level to an extent like I did, where it's just about participation and everything, then you can have the, well, we went out there and we had fun. This is professional sports, B-Mitch. It's not about having fun. It's about winning ball games.
Uh-huh.
And this team hasn't done that. But when you get comfortable in your job, you get comfortable in your spot, you get comfortable in where you're at, it can lead to that complacency where it's no longer about those wins and losses. How have you had experience in a locker room where there was complacency and there was a lack of urgency from whether it was the general manager, the coach, other players, and how did you address that?
Yes. I've been around coaches where this is what happens sometimes. Coaches get to a point where they're satisfied with certain people and they will allow other people to just do whatever. And if you see a coach not disciplining or getting on someone for not doing the right stuff, whether that coach yells at you or not, you know what you start doing? Following that lead guy. When Norv was here, Michael Westbrook couldn't do nothing wrong. Mike would mess up all the time. He'll yell at James Thrash. I went to him and said, yo, man, can't do that. This kid will do anything in the world to get on the field, run through a wall for you. The other guy needs to be corrected because you know what other guys are doing? Other guys are saying you don't discipline him, so they're not going to do what they need to do. So all of a sudden you get a complacent team who's not trying to get better. The thing with this team, like you stated, they're not winning, but you haven't seen nobody get mad at anything. When I hear everyone say, well, Davey's a great player's coach. Player's coach has two meanings. There's a coach who allows you to get away with crap and don't correct you, and there's a coach who you know cares about you and you'll bust your ass for. He wasn't that guy. He was that other guy where I didn't see him get mad. Then all of a sudden, that's why the players were so hurt when the coach said you can't blame the coaches. So who you blaming, us? That's when they felt a little irritated by him. But you have to correct things. There's an accountability factor. When you stop stressing accountability, accountability leaves. And there are a lot of coaches where things are working, and let's say you're here 20 years. Do you still have the fire that you had before? I'm going to the GM now. Is your fire the same as it was in year 1 through 8? Or maybe not. I've had guys tell me when I was in my 11th, 12th year, man, won't you slow down? Why is this? Well, act like this game is more serious. Oh, because I'm having fun. I never got complacent. I always thought somebody trying to take my damn job. A lot of people don't feel that way, especially if you've been somewhere a certain amount of time. And then once you have success, World Series, when they asked Rizzo about Davey, he said, guy won a World Series here. I'm thinking about firing him. That makes you feel comfortable, don't it?
100%. 100%. And I think you could see some of that complacency and some of the stuff that wasn't happening on the field, where how many years in a row have we talked about base running with this ball club? How many years? We've talked about it year and year and year, especially with these new guys in town. Because I think the thing specifically with Davey, I think that Davey can manage a ball club that can manage itself. What do I mean by that? A veteran ball club like 2019 that these guys understand how to police each other and keep each other accountable? I think Davey can manage that ball club, and I don't necessarily always agree with his decisions, but the most important thing for that 2019 club was what Davey provided. They needed a positive attitude when they went through the struggle.
A positive attitude that helps them just guide them a little bit.
Correct.
Like what you're saying, see, this is the thing that I applaud Coach Gibbs, because Coach Gibbs allowed the players, the veteran players on the team, to actually run the football team. And the only time he would step in is when something got out of line that he didn't like. Everyone just give him credit for everything as if the players just, yes sir, follow suit. No. When I got here, I rarely had to talk to Coach Gibbs, because Monty Coleman got your ass in check. Darryl Green will check you. Tim Johnson, you know, Charles Mann, Wilbur Marshall, those guys would check you. So you didn't have, the coach didn't have to worry about it, because once they saw you doing something wrong, they hey, yo, come here, let me holler at you, young man. So the coach didn't even know what was going on most times. Players corrected it. And when you have a veteran-led team like that, the coach get the ride. He's in the passenger seat, chilling.
Yeah,
and I think, like you said, when they, Scherzer didn't wait for people to come correct somebody. No. He did it himself. You had enough veterans on that squad to where Davey's calmness and coolness with them helped them. But they have some leaders on their squad, dog.
Yeah, 100%. I think you look at it, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Like, you're talking about Monty Coleman and guys like that. They weren't going anywhere, B-Mitch, and they'd been there. Yeah. Right? Like they had been on the team. Think about where the Nationals are at right now. Which veteran around this ball club has been there for a long time and is going to be there for a while that can lead these guys, that they can say, we can listen to this guy because he's going to be around? You can't name one.
You can't name, but I think what the difference between veteran, older players and younger players, the older player who's been around a long time, they don't just take your kindness for a weakness. A lot of young dudes today, when you try to be cool with them, they like, oh, man, coach cool as hell. So now coach is my friend. Your coach can never let you become it. The coach can never allow a player to think he's his friend.
So a couple of things on Davey. Real quick, and I think JP is going to call in next segment and give us his thoughts on these moves, is there were a couple of examples, really three examples to me, of where Davey was a different guy this season. And I know he spent most of the time talking about Rizzo. I think you can understand the complacency there, and we've seen that. But with Davey in particular, one, he's had players this year get rung up on pitches that are just horrible. And part of my favorite thing that I liked about Davey is he'd go up and stand up for his guys, and it'd be comical doing so. Like, you've seen him get on the ground. You've seen him rip bags out. Did he do that at all this year? No, absolutely not. Not enough emotion there.
Taking up for your guys sometimes, when that SOB is wrong, doesn't correct stuff.
No, and I'm going to get to the other stuff, too, because was another one. I talked about the base running issues. There was a play, I believe this was during the 11-game losing streak, and this is a big-time player, and it would have sent a big-time message to the team. C.J. Abrams had a play where, I can't remember the exact specifics, but he got hung up between first and second and gave next to no effort. Oh, I remember exactly what it was. He was on first base. He took off for second, and James Wood lined out to right field, and there was next to no effort by C.J. made to get back to first base. Was he going to get thrown out likely anyways? Probably. Mm-hmm. But he just sauntered back to first base.
Thrown out.
You're sitting the rest of the game, C.J. That's an unacceptable effort in a losing streak.
What you're talking about is without mentioning by Norv and Michael Westbrook.
You can't have that. And so C.J.'s left in the rest of the game. He came up big later in the game. But you want to talk about complacency? Just letting a guy go out there and loaf is complacency. Also, Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. I like both these guys. But Louis had a spot where he grounded into a double play and was jogging down the line. Mm-hmm. You got to bust your butt, especially in a losing streak. You got to be doing everything possible. If you lose and everybody's going full out.
Those guys who are considered better players are setting the tone for everybody else.
100%.
And when you don't correct them, you're not correcting everybody else. See, I mentioned Michael Westbrook, and I talked to Mike maybe a year ago. We were down in Atlanta for this football thing. He said, man, I wish I would have listened to you more and do the stuff you were doing. Think about that. So I remember one time I got on some players after they make a mistake, and they changed up. Norv called me in his office and told me, let the coaches do that. My exact words to Norv Turner were, I'll give you a week. If you take care of what you're supposed to take care of, I won't ever say nothing else to the players. But if you don't, I'm going right back to who the hell I am. I've always felt that it's not just the coach, the manager. It's the veteran players on the squad, too, that could correct things. And after a week, you know what I did? I started telling them what the hell to do again.
Sure.
Because Norv wasn't doing it. And the rest of his coaches weren't doing it. Terry Rubisky would. But the rest of the coaches that were under him wouldn't do it. Why? Because you're setting the tone. We're supposed to let the stars, the first-round draft pick, we let them just do what the hell they want to do. Your rest of your team gets screwed up like that. Do they have that guy? Did Davey, like you said, obviously he didn't. Did he check him when he needed to? You know, like with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Bill used to get on Tom heavily in front of players, but then go talk to him and tell him why he did it later on. Same thing David Culley did to me when I was a quarterback at USL. He would ream me, and I said, Coach, what the hell was that? He said, you can handle it. I couldn't just not say something to you when I got to correct everybody else. So now the players won't make the mistake because I got on you. But he did it behind closed doors. He knew how to do it. But he didn't just not say anything at all to me. And the other players go, well, damn, B-Mitch, do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
We're going to get JP's thoughts. He's out for the week. I'm in for him, but JP going to call and give us his thoughts on Mike
JP
Rizzo.
Because you had 11:44. You had just like JP.
We'll get JP's thoughts on these firings next.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Here on B. Mitch and Finley. Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP this week alongside Brian Mitchell, reacting to the news that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez both fired. Joining us to give his thoughts on it, the regular host of B. Mitch and Finley, JP Finley. JP, what's up, dude?
Who?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's up, Jupu?
B. Mitch was saying that you're actually here this week because we went to break late.
Yeah, we broke at 11:45, though.
I don't know what happened to JP's
JP,
phone.
JP, your phone is like sounding like you got a burner.
You got me now?
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Go park.
I mean,
go park somewhere good, and then we're gonna wait for
you. I'm parked. I don't know why you guys can't hear me.
We got you now.
All right, go now.
Is this just terrible connection? I'm just at the beach.
Every single time you go to say something, I'm assuming you're going to start waiting. It just goes quiet. There you go. He dropped off. We'll see if we can get him back on here in just a second. I know he's been a a Rizzo guy. And I think if you're trying to defend either one of these guys, I think you can defend Mike Rizzo. I'm not necessarily going to do that today. I fully understand that there are issues that Mike Rizzo has had. I don't know that there's any frustration about Davey, because I think we all understood where he's at. Let's see. I think we've got JP back here. JP, I know you've been a Rizzo defender, and understandably so. He's been great throughout his tenure here. What was your thoughts on them ultimately firing yesterday, Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez?
The Davey thing is certainly not a surprise. I mean, they're playing bad baseball, and they're playing bad baseball. They're in last place in the NL East. They're behind the Marlins. I mean, get swept by the Red Sox, including just a drubbing on July 4th. That's kind of a showcase game.
Mm-hmm.
The Davey thing I can understand. And I want the world to know they should hire Kevin Long at the end of the season, the Phillies pitching hitting coach. The Rizzo thing to me is very different on a number of levels. One, I mean, the draft is in a week. It's like, the timing of it is incredibly bizarre. I can kind of understand it if they're maybe clearing the decks to sell this thing. I don't know that they are. I feel like Rizzo deserves better than being fired in the middle of the season at mid-July. I do hear the detractors. Like, I understand the growing chorus of their inability to draft and develop over the last, you know, 6-7 years. That is real. I also think he's been operating with one hand tied behind his back because – ownership is so bad. Like, I get the fans are frustrated. I think Mike Rizzo's great at what he does, and he'll go somewhere else and win another title. And I just think if people wanted a pound of flesh, I get it with Davey. But, like, you fire Rizzo, and then his number two takes over a week before the draft, and you think that's better? I can't wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I agree with you on the timing, but I think you have to look at one thing, too. Like, I know Rizzo has done some damn good things in other accent, but the fact that for 20 years the bullpen has not been good. I woke up this morning, this is the thing that's been weighing heavy on me. I thought the way that things happened and they went quickly, they went to him to try to get him to let David go, and he wouldn't let David go. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I think you say, okay, well, both of y'all going to go then.
Right. I think – whether they went to Davey a couple of weeks ago to try to fire one of his coaches and he wouldn't do it, and then this weekend they went to Mike to try to fire Davey and he wouldn't do it, none of that will surprise me. If I had to guess, the Post will have some in-depth everything that happened story in the next couple of days, and we'll get to learn exactly how this all shook out. I mean, that's generally what the Post does. It's kind of like this posthumous look at all the details, and I look forward to reading that. I don't know if you guys – I'm sure you guys discussed it. Sverluga had a quote last night from Rizzo, like, I'm paraphrasing, but the sun will come up tomorrow. I'm very proud of everything I did navigating this ownership group. And that's pretty telling to me. And, like, I know the Ken Rosenthal piece was out. I know you can just look at the minors and look at the missed draft picks. And if I ever have to be told that Carter Keyboom is the future again, you know what I mean? Like, I get all that. It doesn't add up to me when, I mean, the ownership group now with the patriarch, with you know, Father Lerner gone, I know Mark's running it, but there's probably a lot of cooks in that kitchen, cash-strapped organization. I find it, and Toby, you're way deeper on this than I am, right? But, like, I get the drafting and development hasn't been great, but I find it when we did our blame pie on this a couple weeks ago after the, 11-game losing streak, I'm still at like 75% ownership, and maybe 100%. Fans are just mad and they want some result, and you can't fire the owners, unfortunately, as we learned for 25 years with Dan Snyder. Like, stuck with them.
The thing for me, JP, and the reason that I don't mind making this move, maybe the timing is weird, but I don't mind making the move overall, is it at least opens the option that you could make some changes. Now, I don't necessarily believe that they're going to make the changes is my issue, because if you're going to continue to spend like a small market team, I like Mike Rizzo as a big market general manager. We saw him win a World Series as a big market general manager when this team operated like one. But this team hasn't operated like one since. And so if they decide to go out and spend on R&D and go get an analytical mind at general manager and all those things, you at least open the door for that. I just don't have faith that this ownership group, now that they've moved on from Rizzo and Davey, is suddenly going to make the right decisions and bring in the right general manager and change their philosophy. So, you know, that's where, to your side, like, are you going to do better than Rizzo? Possibly not. And if that's the case, then we might look back on this and say, okay, they made a move, but it was just to make a move for making a move sake.
Yeah, or Rizzo finally said, bleep you. And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I know Mike a little bit. I imagine he gets pushed to a point where he's like, you know what? Bleep this. I got better options. I got a text last night. I didn't feel like tweeting this out last night, but I got a text from a friend of mine that works in baseball. And I'm not going to say names here, but I'm going to read this text to you guys. The learners are embarrassing, man. Mike is amazing and did a great job. Got all these prospects back because these clowns wouldn't spend money. James Wood is a star that he fleeced. And then I just replied, totally. And the reply was, you know how incompetent you have to be to fire the GM the week of the draft? Imagine if this was football. Imagine if this was the old days of the Burgundy and Gold, how ballistic people would be going.
Yep.
And the baseball draft is like 80 rounds or something, and you just fired the boss?
See, yeah. the thing that got me is, and I look at the relationship between the actual manager and the player, like coach and player.
Yeah.
You haven't named that person yet, which I think is a little screwed up.
Maybe they didn't have a plan, and these guys were finally just – I mean, dude, it wasn't that long ago that Jim Riggleman just quit because he wouldn't deal with these owners. Remember that? Jim Riggleman ended up taking shots at Cash.
Yep, yep.
It was all over the internet. Like, I don't know. People in my mentions telling me how dumb I am that Rizzo has been bad over the last decade. And there are certainly – like maneuvers, even the guys, they spent a little bit this offseason, not a lot. They spent less than what Juan Soto makes in a year, but they spent a little, and the product's been terrible. B, I mean, to your point, the bullpen's been bad forever. Mm-hmm. The Kyle Finnegan thing this offseason was incredibly bizarre. Like, there's a lot of wacky stuff going on. I think it starts at the owner's level, and I think if Rizzo could get the Orioles job, it would be tremendous. Like the Orioles need somebody that will press the gas with all these young prospects, and Riz is a press the gas guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to have good options. I'm sure, if I had to guess, he's going to go down to his place in Florida and chill out for a while. But I can wrap my head around Davey. And Toby, correct me if I'm wrong. Davey only has the one winning season in his tenure, right? They just happened to win the World Series.
I agree with you about the timing. I agree with you those things. But I say this. When you're at the position that Rizzo is at, you get blamed for overseeing everything. Or you get the
totally.
You have the your job is to oversee everything. And when things aren't fixed over the years, that blame goes in your lap. And I think that's part of the problem, where we were talking a little bit earlier about complacency. And I believe they got a little complacent, you know, over there. And I think that is what came back. Because when you have people working for you that you see, the guy won the World Series, which makes me look good, I'm going to, you know, push forward. Just that kind of makes things a little off for me. Say it like that.
Well, MB, I think you see it. I mean, in the coaches I've covered in Ashburn, I mean, Shanahan, Gruden, Rivera, I think those guys came in with a mindset of like, all right, I can handle ownership. I can manage up. I can win here. And then after a series of things going wrong, sometimes whether they'll ever publicly admit it or not, they're like, man, I can't win. And maybe the same effort or the same mindset. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff seeps into your organization.
Yep,
sure. And, well, I'll tell you what, JP. Real quick, Lamphill's giving me the look he usually gives you. So we got a break.
I told you, JB was still at work.
We got a break, man. Enjoy your vacation, man.
Enjoy, brother.
See you guys.
Appreciate it, JP. All right, we're going to take a break from the Nationals. I want to talk a little bit about the Wizards. Chris Miller going to join us to talk about the Wiz next.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.